Hey everyone, the Spirit American here. Hope you guys are doing great tonight as we have now entered spring and the weather seems to be improving in the East Coast and beyond. I'm going to start this podcast on a sad note. I'm sure by now you've all heard about the tragedy in Uvalde, Texas the other day, where a teenager or an adult, 18 years of age, has shot and killed 19 children and 2 adults in a school in Uvalde, Texas. Very, very, very sad, very tragic. And I want to start by sending all my prayers and condolences to all the parents and the community and everyone affected by this horrific, horrific tragedy. And we as Americans should reflect on this tragedy and how we can prevent further tragedies such as this one from occurring again. The story, as I understand it, is this 18-year-old, whom I won't mention, because individuals like this don't deserve to be recognized. My understanding is this individual had initially shot his grandmother, had taken a pickup truck, had driven it to a certain point, and crashed into a ditch or ravine of some type, and found himself near the school. And he had every intention of killing. There was no question about that. Again, my understanding is that he had initially looked at going through the front door of the school, but immediately realized a door to the side of the school was propped open. And in the ensuing investigation, so far we know that a teacher or an adult who worked at the school forgot her cell phone in her vehicle and went to go retrieve it and prop the door so she can get right back into the building. So this left just enough time for this individual to see that door and enter the school. At this point, the individual enters the classroom and barricades himself inside with the students and at least one adult in that particular classroom. And one can only imagine the fear that these elementary students had. I can't even begin to imagine the fear they had. In any event, word got out and police responded along with parents. And There's some conflicting stories and investigations as to whether or not the police had waited too long to respond into the building. I've also read that there happened to be a Border Patrol agent who was nearby that had responded and had also responded to the school and along with other officers. And it appears, and again, I say it appears, that these police officers, these law enforcement officers, waited at least 40 minutes, with some accounts saying 1 hour, before they made entry into the school. And again, it appears they may have been awaiting for SWAT or a tactical response team to assist. But in any event, it looks like it did not enter until the tragedy took place inside the school. Parents, of course, were very, very upset, very emotional. They wanted their children out of the school. They wanted a response into the school and were urging these officers to go in. It's difficult to play quarterback from where I am, from where I'm sitting, because I wasn't there. The media, of course, is spinning it in their way. And of course, there's all different kinds of stories out there. The bottom line is this shouldn't have taken place. There was just a shooting in Buffalo last week where 10 shoppers in a grocery store was, or rather were, killed. Another tragedy. And right away, politicians began to politicize these tragedies, each in their own way. And you have Democrats that are trying their best at this point to pass even stricter gun laws, which so far Republicans have been able to stave off for the time being. While Republicans have introduced legislation to better secure schools, which Democrats blocked. So it's a tit for tat. And the weaponization of this tragedy is also a tragedy in and of itself. We have 19 children and two adults that were senselessly murdered, with the individual himself having been killed. Not even enough time to grieve with the parents in the community. And politicians got to work politicizing this incident. I'm quite sure the investigation into what led to and how this incident unfolded is not even close to being finished. The sheriff, from my understanding, is in a lot of trouble in Uvalde. And the big question, of course, being why didn't the officers go into the school? That's probably the biggest question everybody has now. And again, I'm not going to quarterback at this point because I don't believe I have all the facts. I know the mainstream media and some other pundits out there have already drawn their own conclusions. But I'm not here for that. I am here grieving for a tragedy that may have well been prevented. And no matter how many tragedies occur, the same people, the same politicians come out screaming and yelling, it's gun control. We need more gun control. And if you all know me by now, I believe in the Constitution and the Second Amendment. And I strongly believe that law-abiding citizens have the right to bear arms. Especially these days, where it really doesn't matter what state you live in, what town you live in, what neighborhood, tragedy can strike. An act of violence can take place at any time. And everybody is busy politicizing all this. Stricter gun controls, they're crying. And I don't think they really understand. I really honestly don't think they understand. They want to ban what they call assault weapons. And a lot of these politicians clearly don't know what an assault weapon is. They can't describe it. They can't define it. And yet they want to ban it. And there are many, many Americans out there that have AR-15 weapons that don't go and start shooting people. And the way I see things is guns don't kill people. People kill people. And I know it's an old cliche that has been around for many, many years, but the reality is that's true. If you put a handgun on a table, that handgun will not grow a set of legs and arms and shoot somebody. The only time that gun becomes lethal is if a human picks up that weapon and uses it. And there are many law-abiding citizens out there who possess and carry firearms for their own safety, the safety of their families, the safety of their businesses. The Second Amendment is there for a reason. And the government, whether it's local, state, or even federal, take advantage of these tragedies as another excuse to infringe on that Second Amendment. But we can debate gun control and the laws, because as of now, you can see that the crime rate is very, very high, and gun control only goes against law-abiding citizens. Criminals don't care about gun control. You can have the strictest gun control in the country and even the world for that fact. Criminals don't care. They're going to get their hands on a gun. Whether it's a ghost gun, they buy it on the black market, it comes over the southern border, which of course is wide open now. It doesn't matter. They'll get their hands on a gun. If they really want to commit a crime, if they have that intention, they're going to get a weapon in their hands. So they might want to consider enforcing the laws they have on the books already. That's one of the biggest problems we have in this country right now, is State and federal, especially the federal government, are not enforcing the laws we have already. So they want to develop more laws. They want to legislate more laws. They can legislate all the laws they want. It only hurts law-abiding citizens. Which brings me to my next point. We have to start talking about mental illness. And in this case, this individual had some issues. And from what I can tell, on social media, he was a, what they said, they described him as a cross-dresser. And he had posted some things online that he actually wanted, he had intention of killing, and he did have some issues according to his family. But nobody wants to really address the mental health of these tragedies, these people that commit these tragedies. I can tell you from personal experience, having been in public safety for a number of years, that individuals who had mental health issues, if there was reason for them to put them on what we used to call a 72-hour hold, they would be transported to the local hospital, put in a secure area, and sometimes sit there for a few days waiting for the psychiatrist on call to come and speak with them. And many times, after about a 15-minute consultation within and some medication, this individual will be let go. And I used to see the same people in and out, in and out, in and out. And you know what? Their mental health, as far as I was concerned, was never addressed. And I sincerely hope, that all levels of government start to really think about this and really start to do something about that. Because I really think that this needs to be a deep dive, and we have to nip it in the bud, so to speak. So I really, really hope that they attack this situation from that angle, because I think this is probably a majority of the problem with why individuals commit these heinous acts. But I also wanted to touch upon school safety. And I look back only, you know, a couple of years. And if you recall, we had the whole defund the police movement, and where not only were police departments defunded, equipment was removed, they weren't allowed to use certain things, certain equipment to as an alternative to their service weapon. They cut back on their staff, crime went up, but the defunding of the police also affected school safety. Many schools across the country employed SROs, school resource officers, which was or still is a successful program where it's still used. So everybody was crying about defunding the police. SROs were removed. Armed guards became unarmed. And a lot of times, even security guards were removed and replaced with some fancy title, such as ambassador or monitor or something to that effect. And, you know, you get what you pay for. You get what you pay for, folks. And unfortunately, as you can see, a lot of cities across the country now are regretting having defunded the police with rocketing high crime, and are now rebudgeting or adding police personnel and money back into those police departments. But school safety is very, very important. This is one of the places where a child should feel safe. Once the child arrives at school, that child is there to learn and engage with his peers or her peers, with teachers, with others. It's a learning environment. It should be a safe environment for children. But that's not the case anymore. And if you go way back, you know, it was almost unheard of for acts of violence to occur in hospitals, in churches, in synagogues, and places like that, where there was some level of respect for the institution. And people respected those institutions enough not to commit violent acts. And that included schools. But that all changed years ago. And SROs were introduced, armed guards, and the like. And you have people, especially some parents, who think that the presence of police officers or even armed guards traumatizes their children, because they themselves claim that schools are not a place for law enforcement because they are armed. So you can't have it both ways. You want your child safe, but you don't want a law enforcement or armed guard presence because they're wearing a gun. Trained professionals with weapons, but they don't want them on the campuses. And that's a tragedy in itself, because criminals get what's going on. They're receiving the message loud and clear. They're like us. They watch the news, they hear the news, they hear what's going on, and they love when we start crying more gun control, no more cops at schools, and things like that. They're not stupid. They know what's going on. It's almost as if we're inviting them to the schools or a hospital or a church to commit violent acts because they have these gun-free safe zones. And the only person with a gun in that place is the person that's going to commit that violent act. And so these criminals, they know what they're doing. Arm the teachers? Oh, heck no. No, 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 don't do that. They're teachers. Well, if you're not going to have a police presence or security personnel, armed security personnel and trained, what kind of safety do you have? What type of security do you have? At minimally, if you have certain teachers, responsible teachers, well-trained and armed, if something were to occur, the outcome could be a little different. But everybody cries, no, don't give them guns. They're teachers. They don't want police, but they don't want the teachers armed either. Now, everyone's crying that there should be more security at schools, single point entries, all the things that are or should be proactive. in my community here, at all the schools, they've had police officers for the last 2 days. I guarantee you, within 1 or 2 days, those officers will not be there anymore. Well, now we're at the Memorial weekend, but I don't foresee past Tuesday or Wednesday of next week that they'll be there anymore. Yes, it gives parents a peace of mind for a couple of days, but that's not the solution. That's just a temporary something to appease parents and the community. But that's not the answer, folks. There has to be a permanent solution. I had a school administrator just yesterday morning say to me that they have cameras all over the school, at one particular school. And I said, that's great. So I asked obvious question. I said, how many of those cameras work? They said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, you have, 87 cameras that monitor the campus, but how many of them actually work? He says, well, four of them are down, but we put in a request to have them fixed. I said, how long ago did you have them requested? About a month ago. So four cameras, which actually monitor the interior of egress doors in the back of the building, were not working. But he thought cameras were a great thing. And I said, why is that? He says, because it captures everything. We can see everything. I said, oh, that's good. I said, let me ask you a question. If an incident were to occur, if somebody was trying to break in or had broken in, is a camera going to stop this individual or individuals? It's great that your secretaries are monitoring the camera in an office midway into the school. But cameras don't stop people. Cameras only work, or rather, any equipment works when they're partnered with a human. Technology only works when you have a human that is overseeing the technology. So if there's an armed guard or an SRO that's monitoring a camera, for example, or cameras, if they see something that doesn't look right, they can respond. They can be proactive. Or, heaven forbid, reactive. But someone's there, someone's responding. They're not waiting 5 minutes or so for the first police officers to arrive. I really hope with this tragedy that some lessons are learned. I suspect they won't. I suspect, I really hope I'm wrong that another tragedy will occur, and politicians will just continue to politicize each and every one. And it's sad. It's sad because those 19 children and 2 adults, as well as those that have tragically died in the past, deserve better. They deserve to know that their lives were not taken away in vain. That something was done. And parents may not want the school to be militarized. And I understand that. I understand that completely. With metal detectors and canines and, like I said, law enforcement. But you know what, folks? Unfortunately, this is the world we live in. This is the world we live in. And it's very, very important, folks, that training also come into play. I can't tell you how many schools I visited and institutions, businesses, hospitals, where the training is so minimal that the only thing I would suggest for them to do is hide, because they wouldn't know what to do. Some companies or schools don't have the budget or not willing to put into the budget for training. Whether it's just simple self-defense, hands-on training, weapons training. It's very unfortunate. Very unfortunate. Even an awareness type of training. But it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. Unfortunately, these things always come reactively. And everybody will, like I said, have their SROs, law enforcement and security guards for a while. And some schools may hire some unarmed guards. Everybody's afraid of liability. Well, yeah, now they have a liability on their hands. There's 19 children that lost their lives with two adults. That's the liability. This is something that could have been prevented. Some things are very hard to prevent, and I understand that. But at least to try to mitigate a situation to begin with, or at least every attempt to be proactive, is always, always, always a good thing. Let's stop politicizing these tragedies. Let's stop the rhetoric with saying we need more gun control. Criminals don't give a damn. The law-abiding citizens are the ones that pay, and it's not fair to them. We have to have training. We have to be proactive. We have to be proactive with mental health. It has to happen, folks. This conversation needs to take place. Nobody wants to have it. And if we don't have it, tragedies like these will just continue on and on. And I don't want to see another child or an adult die in a situation like this. It's not right. It's not right. So I'm going to leave you with a thought. Talk to your children. Be sure they understand. Get some training. There's tons of videos online, free of charge. You can even go on YouTube and I'm sure you'll find hundreds. I find them all the time. Free of charge. What to do, certain scenarios. Watch them. Watch them with your children. Make sure they understand how they might be able to get out of a situation like this. It's always easier to say it than do it. If you're in a situation, it might be difficult to do anything at all. But at least try. Mitigation is always the best weapon in being proactive. And I implore you all to do that. Again, my heart goes out to Uvalde. And the citizens there, and the families, the parents. I hope God is watching over them. And while this is very unconsolable, we share their grief. We'll talk soon.